94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Juan Castillo, and this is the Electric Drum. Now, this morning, I have with me two young ladies who are, you know, entrepreneurs, and, you know, they got a wonderful story. I have Jasmine Sampson here in the studio, also at Tatiana Dukes. They own a business called Piggy Rides and Flicks Photo Booth. But we're going to be talking about their lives and also the challenges and how they got to, you know, to get these businesses going. First, I got Jasmine up. How you doing, Jasmine?
I'm doing good, Juan. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. So tell me about yourself.
Well, Juan, I'm 31 years old. I'm a single mother of one. I have a master's degree in social work, and I have a couple of businesses that I own. It's Piggyback Rides.
Piggyback Rides. Piggyback.
Piggyback.
Piggyback Rides. Okay. Like, yeah. Okay. Here we go.
So Piggyback Rides and Flicks Photo Booth. You know, we started a business about 5 years ago. Let me backtrack. I was actually born and raised in New Haven, been here all my life, and actually still live in New Haven.
And tell me about growing up in New Haven.
New Haven, you know, I grew up in the late 80s, early 90s, and I living in New Hallville. It was a bit of a challenge. You know, I grew up in a time where there was a lot of drug activity, you know, a lot of I've been in drive-by shootings and, you know, lots of, you know, teen peer pressures and teen drugs and sex and things like that. But growing up in that neighborhood, I saw some things. You know, I witnessed a lot of things, but, you know.
So how did you get around that? I mean, I know that when we talk, you know, you didn't get around them completely, but, you know, tell us about some of those challenges.
Yeah, there were a lot of challenges. Of course, you know, I had friends who were, you know, doing some things, you know, engaged in early sexual activity and, you know, drugs. And, you know, sometimes with the peer pressure, you want to do things to fit in. So that's kind of where I found myself, is, you know, trying different things. You know, like I have my first and last cigarette at the age of, I believe it was like 16. You know, I just tried it because people around me were doing it.
Right.
You know, and, you know, just seeing that every day, it was just, you know, it was kind of hard to stay away from. But
you did what you had to do, right?
I did what I had to do.
Right.
I did what I had to do. But I just knew, like, something deep down inside was just like, you know, like, this is not you. Yeah, I dabbled in a few things. You know, of course, you know, I had my cigarette. You know, I partied. You know, I entertained alcohol. And, you know, I got drunk for the first time when I was around 17 or 18 years old. You know, I smoked weed. But, you know, it wasn't until I was in college that I really began to change.
So you graduated from what school?
I graduated with a bachelor's degree from Southern.
Okay.
And I graduated. I went on to finish to complete my master's degree in social work from Fordham University in New York.
So tell me about those college years.
So the college years were pretty rough. My first couple of semesters, I was away from home. I thought I was, you know, free. I had a boyfriend who at the time was a drug dealer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a matter of me just being with him all the time and, you know, the partying and the drinking and, you know, smoking. And it wasn't until like that second semester in college, I saw my grade point average. It was like a 1.3. And I was just like, you know, something has to change. Like, this is not the world that I want to travel. This is not where I want to be, you know, in my life. So I decided to make a change.
And so what was that change?
The change was, I knew I had to get myself together because, number one, that's not the road that I wanted to travel. Number two is that I didn't want to disappoint my parents. My parents, who've been married for over 40 years, it's actually like 48 years. They were up until today, they are a huge support system, and they were a huge support system for me at that time. They always believed in me, always told me to never give up and, you know, strive for the best. And I couldn't come home and tell them that I had a 1.3 grade point average and, you know, especially since they were, you know, helping me pay for college. I couldn't tell them that I had a 1.3. I couldn't tell them that I was hanging out, partying and, you know, doing all the things that I shouldn't do. So I said, I'm not going to tell them. Sorry, mom and dad. But I said, I'm not going to tell them that I have a 1.3. I'm just going to work my butt off to get it up. And that's what I did.
Good for you. Juan Castillo with you. I'm here with, you know, Jasmine Sampson and Tatiana Dukes. We're going to be speaking to Tatiana in a little bit. They own a business called Piggyback Rides and Flix Photo Booth. We're going to talk about their businesses in a little while. But right now, we're talking to Jasmine about, you know, her years in college. So in your senior year, you had an incident that jumped off and you had to deal with that.
Yeah, my senior year, I ended up getting pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, it was totally unexpected. But it was kind of like, man, like you're almost there, you know, like, I'm thinking to myself, like, why would you let this happen? You were almost there. You know, you were right there at the finish line. But, you know, so I had to tell my parents that I was pregnant. It took me a couple months to tell my mother because I was just petrified of like what they were going to think. I know they were going to be disappointed. It took me when I was 4 months pregnant, I told my father and, you know, me being the youngest and me being his daddy's girl, he was a little disappointed. But, you know, we surpassed that, and they decided that they were going to support me in this because, you know, they wanted me to finish school just as bad as I wanted to finish school.
Nice.
And what the pregnancy did, it actually gave me motivation to, you know, continue on and strive for better. So I said, you know, it was at one point where I thought, okay, yeah, I could just, you know, give up school. I could just, you know, stay home. I could just get like a regular job and, you know, be okay with that. But I said, no, you know, now I have someone here that I'm going to have to support. And I have to do this not for myself, not just for myself, but I have to do it for her too. I have to be an example for her. And, you know, so I decided to push through. I decided to, you know, continue on with my education. I said I had one more year to go and I'm going to get through this. And I was just so determined that, and I'll give you a funny story, that I had to do an internship. And before you do an internship, you have to go to an orientation. So on the day of my orientation, I was actually having contractions, you know, but I still decided to go. I said, okay, I told my mother, I said, well, they're not that bad. So I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to go to this orientation because that's how determined I was to make it through.
Yes.
You know, so I'm in orientation and I'm writing things down and everyone's looking at me. I'm like, okay, you know, just in case you're wondering what I'm doing, I'm writing down my contraction time. And, you know, everyone laughed at me, but I just had it in my mind that I'm not going to stop. I'm just going to keep going. So
that's great. So so you ended up going to Fordham.
I did.
And you got your master's from there?
I got my master's in social work from
right.
Fordham.
That's fantastic.
I completed a 2-year program because, you know, my thing was while I have the support of my parents, you know, I'm going to try to go as far as I can go. So they supported me through that. I mean, I did work overnights, but luckily the program was on Saturdays.
Okay.
So I just commuted back and forth to New York every Saturday. And I spent all day up there. And then I came home, got some sleep, and then went to work. And that's kind of how that went for the next 2 years.
So you ended up going to work for the state, right?
Yeah. So
tell me about how that happened.
Yeah. So after... While I was getting my master's, I said, okay, as soon as I come out of here, I want to go to the state. I want to work for the state. And that's it. I want my Monday through Friday. I want my 9-to-5. I want my benefits. And, you know, the Lord blessed me. He did bless me with that. Right after I graduated with my master's, probably about 4 months later, I got the job. I got the job working for the state. And I'm like, oh, yes.
And that was DCF, right?
It was DCF.
Right.
It was go DCF.
Yeah.
So the Lord blessed me with it. And I was just like, yes, you know, I'm good. This is it. I could kind of, you know, plan on my retirement here and, you know, I could be all right. But then something else happened. You know, we had those bumps in a row.
Yes.
In life. I had another bump.
What was that bump?
My bump was within 6 months. They let us go and they let me go. And this was due to the budget crisis that was going on in 2010. And because I was one of the last ones hired, I was one of the first ones to be let go. So here I am.
So now, at the time, you had met Tatiana.
Yeah.
Tatiana Dukes, who's sitting right, your partner.
My partner.
Ride or die.
My PIC, my partner in crime.
It's a beautiful thing. So you met her, I'm going to stop you for a minute because this is going to be episodic, right? So it's like we're going to go back and forth with the story. So audience, remember that. Now, remember, Jasmine's story and where we stopped. And now we're going to hand the mic over to Tatiana. All right. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. All right. And so let's talk about you.
Okay.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Queens, New York.
Yes.
I was born in Manhattan, but I was raised in Queens. You know, we moved from Manhattan when I was 3 years old to Queens. And it was, you know, I love Queens. That's where I was born and raised. And lots of things going on there, lots of things to do.
Oh, yeah. And so tell me about, your high school years. Tell me about those.
High school was a little rough for me.
Bring your mic up a little closer. We want
to
hear you.
High school was a little rough. I went to two different high schools. One of the first high schools I went to was in Queens. And there was a lot of issues with, jealousy, bullying. So my mother said to me that she wanted me to go to, have a better education and go to a different type of school. So I ended up going to stay with my uncle and go to Uniondale High School. And that's where I graduated.
What was different about that?
It was just a different environment. It was a mixed culture. It wasn't just, Latino and African-American kids. It was a group of mixture of kids. And the educational levels were a little higher in Long Island at that time.
Right. And so you graduated from there and you went to City College for nursing.
I did. I thought I wanted to be a nurse.
Right.
There's a lot of medical people in my family. So yes. They're like, you have to be a nurse or a doctor or a lawyer. And I was like, okay, I don't want to be a lawyer. So I thought nursing was going to be it for me. So I went my first year and I kind of flunked out of the biologies and anatomies, and I got D's and F's. And I'm like, this is not what it's supposed to be like. And I didn't get an interest in it. I wasn't interested. I didn't really enjoy biology and those types of science classes. So I was like, this is really not for me. So I kind of knew early on that I was not going to be a nurse.
So what did you change to? What happened?
I just started to see what kind of majors, because I didn't really pay attention in high school, like all the careers and different outlets that you what you can become.
Yes.
I was like, I'm going to go to college and just be a nurse, until I did my own research and did my own background and just checking and seeing what kind of careers are out there, what it leads to, what can happen. Then I found out that I was like, I have a little bit of an entrepreneurial spirit in me already, because I kind of saw growing up, my uncles owned businesses and nightclubs and lounges. So I kind of had that in me early on, and I said, I'm going to go do business administration and management.
Great. And then you kind of did a little thing when you were 20. You started a cleaning company.
I wanted to
start it. Oh, you wanted to start it. Okay, so I
was a little ambitious at that point. I wanted to start my own little cleaning business. I had my little flyers.
Oh, so you checking out?
I did. Because I was not prepared at all.
Right.
But I went through some of the steps, but at 19, I didn't know what I was going to be doing.
Right.
So I kind of chickened out. I said, I'm too young. I'm not ready to start it. But I did have a name for the business and everything like that.
Right.
I thought I was ready, but I wasn't.
Then you met your husband.
Not yet.
No, not yet. So from there, where did you go?
I decided to continue my education.
Okay.
So I was like, I need a master's degree. But then I was like, okay, I want to do business administration, but I also had a passion for working with families and children.
Yes.
So I started to look into counseling, and I was also looking into social work programs, and I just found a really good program at Berklee College.
And that's where you got your master's?
Yes.
Okay. So how did you end up in Connecticut?
I met my husband. Back then he was my boyfriend.
Yeah, of course.
A couple of years, probably about 22, 23 years old. And he's from Connecticut.
Okay.
So after we dated a few years, we decided we were going to be serious. And I decided that we were going to move to Connecticut. So I'm a New York transplant in Connecticut.
Yeah, so am I. Yeah. So then you got to DCF about the same time that Jasmine did, right?
Yes,
so you both got hired around the same time?
Yes, we were hired
together,
fired together, all of that.
Right.
So I also did my internship, too. At the state. So while I was at the end, like the final year of my master's degree, I wanted to be in the state just like her. I was like, this is going to be my dream job. And, you know, you have these dreams like you're going to be settled.
Yes.
But then you're not.
Right.
So I did my internship. And then a couple of months after that, I was also offered a position.
So you guys met, you kind of like clicked together, right? Started doing the work. Right. You know, and it was great work, too. Right. I mean, you guys are working with families that really need your help. Right.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what that work was all about.
It was basically making sure that children have a safe environment
mm-hmm.
at all times.
So yes.
No matter what kind of environment, educational environment, a home environment, the number one thing is making sure our children are safe.
Right.
So it was a little tasking to hear the type of stories that happened, but it was also rewarding knowing that we were doing our job and making sure that parents had the resources that they needed to be able to care for their kids.
Right, right. Did you have kids at the time also while you were?
I had a daughter. She was right. 3 at the time.
Okay.
So while all those things were going on, me becoming a new mother, it was just something that was in me. Like, I really want to do this type of work.
Right.
Especially becoming a new mother.
Right, right. So like what, 3-4 months into the job, you guys started realizing that this thing might end because of what was going on, right?
Yes. The governor was just elected, I think it was, and there were all these talks about budget cuts and state layoffs were going on, and we got our notices. So it was like, wow, you know, we just got in here, and it was unfortunate, but it was a large group of people, at least like 30 of us that were let go.
Right.
And everyone had the same feeling, like, wow, we thought we were in here for a little while at least to get our careers going, but.
Yeah. And in today's world, you know, I mean, those were some of the type of jobs that, you know, as African-Americans, you know, we used to go after because of the fact that, you know, moms and everything, get that job, get that state job, you know, because, you know, you're never going to get fired. You know, there's any, you got all of that, right? You know,
but have a retirement plan, retention plan.
Yeah, the whole nine, right? But no, man. Yeah. So now it's like, okay, both of you, right? It's like, okay, what are we going to do,
yeah.
right? And, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind would be that you guys would start trying to find some similar work, right?
Yeah.
But that's not what you did.
No, my entrepreneurial spirit kicked in again.
Yeah.
I've always had it in the back of my mind that one day I would want to work for myself. So I said, I had a little plan. And I said, you know, I'll probably work here for a couple of years and see what happens from there. But I never thought I would be let go first. I thought I would say, you know what, I'm ready to move on.
Right.
But the entrepreneur's spirit in me kicked in, and I saw that there was something that was lacking. There was a need, and we put our heads together and we fulfilled that.
Let's pass the mic to Jasmine. This is Juan Castillo. You listen to the Electric Drum. I know that you inspire right now by these two young ladies who, you know, been through a lot in their lives, you know, and, you know, some of the unsung heroes in our community, man. I mean, sometimes, you know, we look up to ball players and folks that, you know, are out there, you know, in the public eye. But, you know, hey, you know, it's really all about, you know, ordinary folks like us, you know, who, you know, make a difference in our community. And believe me, their businesses are making a difference in our community, and they're making a difference in their own families. You know, and so I want to continue talking with Jasmine now. So Jasmine, so now, okay, so you guys must have got pretty tight because, I mean, when you get ready to start a business with somebody now and, like, you know, your life is going to be dependent on that. Tell us about your relationship, right?
Yeah, it was really, really strange because, like, when I first saw her, we were up in Hartford and we had orientations. We had trainings to go to. And when I saw her, I was just like, I don't know. I keep looking at this lady. I keep looking at this woman. Who is she? You know? And
right.
It was just something that kind of, did I tell you that before? I never told you that. No. Step out the room. No. I said, it was just something like, I just kept looking at her. I'm like, you know, who, you know, and I would call myself like very intuitive, you know, and it's just something that just kind of like drew me to her. And, you know, from that day, I think we had to do like an exercise or something together. And then we had like lunch together. And then we found out that we were going to be working in the same area office.
Okay.
And we were just like, okay, well, we're going to be together. So we started talking about carpooling and this and that. And, you know, our first, you know, when we got to the office, we would just, you know, come in together and talk about our cases together and have lunch together. And so it was just more like we kind of like skipped the friendship phase and kind of like went into like sisterhood.
Right.
You know,
that's awesome.
Right off the back. So it was a very trusting relationship, like right off, you know, like right from the beginning.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting because, you know, like, you know, if you look at social media and all that nonsense, it's always like,
yes.
you know, women fighting with each other and,
yes.
and, you know, the jealousy and all of that. But this is a wonderful story.
It's
and I'm glad I'm bringing
find,
it to the community. It's a beautiful thing.
It's hard to find good friendships and good people to surround yourself with. And when you have someone like that, you need to stick to them like glue.
Yes, yes, yes. So who brought up the issue of like, let's get into business together?
Tatiana, she's the brains, you know. So she had been when it was talks of possible layoffs,
right?
She was just like, "Well, I've been looking at some things over here, and I'm thinking that we're gonna do this." I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "What?" So we started, you know, checking into it, doing our little research or what have you. And we were like, yeah, you know, like this is the way to go. If we do get laid off, this will be a good service for us to start because, you know, we wanted to continue our work with children and, you know, families. But we kind of wanted to do it in a different way because, you know, at working with the state, you see a lot of things, some good and, you know, a lot bad. You
yes.
know, so we said that we want to help people, but we want to help them in a different way. And we said, you know, this is something that will help us, you know, continue our passion, working with children, working with families in a different way. But you can still be just effective,
yes.
As effective, you know, rather than, you know, working as a social worker. So
that's
kind of what we did. That was another piece that added. You know, that brought the puzzle together was like, okay, yeah, we could do this. We can make money, but then we can help children.
Let's get back to Tatiana. Okay. So, so you're under crunch though, right? Because it's like,
yes,
okay,
exactly.
you know, you guys still got to pay the bills at home and all that. You got the kids, you know, all that. You got the husbands, you
yes,
know,
yes.
like hey, what y'all gonna do, you
yes,
know?
Definitely.
So, So you decided to go the route of, you know, piggyback rides.
Yes.
Talk about that concept. What is that concept about?
It's a children's transportation service.
Yes.
And we're working right now with a lot of state agencies and, you know, Board of Education, providing transportation for children that are outplaced. So if they're in a foster home, they still need to get back to their schools of origin. They may be outplaced in Milford, but they're from New Haven.
Right.
So you get them to school in their in the area where they lived previously.
Right. And both of you saw this need because mm-hmm. that's kind of like what was the DCF. That's
yes.
right. You know, so your first contract was with DCF, right?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. How did you do that? I mean,
well, we worked our butts off while we were there.
Yeah.
You know, we were always professional and we had a serious demeanor about us and they appreciated that. They knew that we were good workers that they were letting go, but they didn't have any choice.
Right.
So because we were from them, actually groomed us. You know, we had the background and the education and the training that was, you know, was needed to work there. They knew that whatever service we were going to be offering, it was going to be right. And they trusted that.
Now, you know, it's interesting because I worked for the state myself, you know, and I used to get those bids, you know, and all that. So I know how difficult those are and so forth and so on. And so you saw that need. And then you got all your licenses and all that stuff. Right. You know, and how many vehicles did you start with?
One little van.
Okay.
We had our one little van, and it was just me and Jazz in the beginning, and we worked 365 days straight the first year.
Right.
Nonstop, because we were also doing another service, which is called supervised visitation.
Oh.
We would pick up the kids on the weekend and supervise them with their parents and then bring them back.
Wow.
So we worked straight the whole first year. No days off.
Wow. That's awesome.
So we built it up, and after the first year, then we had our second vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, we were just building.
Right, right. So let's give the mic back to Jasmine, because we're gonna talk about this other business now. So you guys now you guys became now you want to like rule the world, right? You know, the ladies. I got daughters, so I love it. Right. You know what I mean? I'm constantly trying to get them to stand up, man, and do for self, you know?
Absolutely.
And so tell me about the new business.
The new business is called Flix Photo Booth. It's a luxurious photo booth service.
Yeah.
And how we got into this business is we've been doing piggyback rides for about 5 years. And don't get me wrong, we love piggyback rides. Sometimes you deal with a lot with having employees and, you know, making the stresses of making sure these kids get to school safely and on time and everything. And we just deal with a lot. We deal with foster parents. We deal with school officials, administrators, everyone you can think of. So we said, you know, when we started this Flix, we said we need something that's fun, something that will kind of, give us a different give us like an outlet, you know. And Tatiana again researching on Instagram saw some things about a photo booth, and it just looked like people were so happy and they were just enjoying themselves taking these pictures. And she was like, look, you know, like this will be really, really cool for us to do. And I started looking into it myself, and I'm like, you know what, I said, I think that you're right. I think that this would be great. It's definitely a service that's needed. It's something where people can just come and have fun and, you know, let your guard down and really, 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 really have good interaction with each other. So that's how Flix Photo Booth came to a head, which was like almost a year ago.
So what type of clients do you have? How does this work?
We have all types of clients. We do all types of events, from anywhere from weddings to, you know, corporate functions to baby showers.
So you got a whole setup that people come and then you take their pictures in this booth. Is it a booth?
It's an open air booth. So we have the photo, like you would stand in front of the booth,
right?
And behind you would be like a backdrop. Now we have some nice backdrops. Now we have at least over, I would say, 30 backdrops.
Nice.
Some are nice and luxurious with, you know, big gold sequins. We have silver. We have, you know, rose gold. We have a lot of things, a lot of backdrops to choose from. So you would stand in front of this backdrop, and we have hundreds of props. And you would put on a funny prop, whether it be big sunglasses or a big hat, you know, or, you know, you will hold a cheeseburger up to you, not a real cheeseburger, but, you know, like a fake cheeseburger or something.
Right.
And you would just take a picture. You would smile and take.
And you guys hand the pictures off at the same time, or
the pictures, or
they come
print,
later.
They print right away.
That's awesome.
They print right away. And you can do a lot of things from the booth. You can upload pictures to social media, to your Facebook, to your Pinterest, to your Twitter, all directly from the booth. You can send it to your email address.
Well, y'all owe me for this interview, so y'all gonna be doing a YBC. I'm only playing. But I'm serious. We'll take care of you. But I'm loving it.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like a radio station thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
We were actually just at Hill House on Valentine's Day, and shout out to the Hill House team. And Principal. And the principal. And the principal
and
over
the principal
there. Thank you for letting us come, you guys. But no, we had set up our booth. We set up our booth during their lunch waves. And we call it the love waves for that day. But the kids really, really enjoy themselves. And I'm just saying that because, you know, that just kind of gives you an idea that just this booth you can bring anywhere. Everyone will enjoy it. So the kids, you know, they had a great, 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 great time in the booth.
That's great. So let's get it back to Tatiana. Where you guys go from here? You got any ideas? That's why I gave you the mic.
I'm not sure. Just to grow, and
it's wonderful.
I think another thing in our community for our girls, our women,
yes,
not to be scared to just jump. That's a Steve Harvey thing, but not to be scared to jump. There's going to be fears. There's going to be a whole lot of obstacles, but you can overcome, because we've overcome so much.
Yes.
And you know, from getting the news that you're going to be laid off from a dream job, we did not let that stop us at all.
That's
that was
wonderful.
Just steam from my engine. So I just want them to know that you can overcome, you know, you can grow any type of business. You just have to want to do it.
So with that, because, you know, I always end my show with this question. I'm going to have both of you answer it. What's the best advice you ever gotten from who?
It was from my college professor. I was just about to graduate, and we were having a little conversation about, you know, what happens after graduation life. And what does real life look like and things to just be aware of? And he was saying to me, Professor Bryant, the power of your mind is probably the most powerful thing that you have.
That's awesome.
Being able to have faith in yourself, when you believe in yourself, there's nothing that you cannot achieve.
That's fantastic. So let's hand back the mic over to Jasmine. Best advice you ever gotten from who?
It was from my internship supervisor. Her name was Miss Beverly Taylor. Mm. And she brought me the Dr. Seuss book, All the Places That You'll Go. And when she first gave it to me, I was like, what are you giving me this kid book for? But in the book, it just basically telling you, you know, don't give up. You know, things may get hard, but you know, you have to push through. You have to push through. And she told me that, you know, never give up. You know, I see how you persevered with your daughter, and you know, you came to your internship. You're always on time. You're always professional. She was like, I know you're gonna go places. She just told me just to never ever give up and keep pushing.
That's awesome, ladies. I want to thank you for coming. You know,
thank you.
Absolutely, you guys are definitely an inspiration to this community and to women's, you know, girl power, man. Absolutely.
Right on.
You know, thank you again for coming, you know, and keep doing what you're doing.
We're very
proud of you.
Thank you.
Juan Castillo with you. This is the Electric Drum. Man, I know you've been inspired. So, ladies, I know everybody's going out there right now to open up some businesses, man. Have a great week. I'll see you next week.